Hi, welcome. It's great to be here. Thank you so much to Matt and Melinda for inviting us in. Just to kind of give you a quick overview of a blended family. A blended family is where one or two of the adults are bringing a child in from a prior relationship. Often that looks like a divorce situation. Sometimes it comes in the form of widow or widower, and other times it could be in the form of a baby mama, baby daddy situation. A relationship happened, did not come to fruition, and now a marriage with those children are involved. As I said, this is, well, my lovely bride, Lori. I'm Kirk McGregor, but I'll let Lori introduce her dynamic of our blend.
Well, it's really our dynamic. We've been married for 12 years, and I have two kids from my previous marriage. I have twins that are now 24, so they were 12 when we got married. And I have to say, our oldest just graduated from college. So super excited. Just graduated from Washington State.
And what degree was it?
Astrophysics.
Underachiever, as we like to say.
Underachiever.
I have a son, Alex, who's going to be 18 next month. He actually just graduated high school. So we had two graduations last month. As mentioned by Matt, we do the Blended Family Ministry, and every month we send out a distribution letter just to kind of share what we're doing in the ministry. Just a quick overview of that. In the fall, we're going to be doing a small group class on Mondays. That starts on September 9th, and it goes through November 11th. If you're interested, let us know. You can find us on the Blended Family page under the parenting section in the Watermark website, but we'd love to have you.
That's watermark.org/blended.
Yes.
We're official. We have our presence on the website, so
yes.
We're excited about that.
All right. Well, we're going to share our testimony in the form and the context of discipline or disciplining in a blended family context. All right. So before I begin, I'd like to be transparent and share that we have to confess that divorce is part of our story. As we look back, if we knew then what we know now, we would admit that we were counseled biblically, but we still chose in decisions that might not have been in accordance with what others had for us. Specifically in the counseling of remarriage when there was reconciliation opportunities available. That said, though we chose to get married, we acknowledge God's best would have been for us to stay single and maintain a heart for reconciliation. If you find yourself having difficulties in your marriage, divorce is not going to solve them. In fact, it's going to make it so more complex and really much, much worse than what you can ever imagine. Contrary to the fact that it's not God's word, if I can leave you with any advice, I share and hope that you leave with this. Seek reconciliation with your spouse at all costs. Whatever it is, trust us. Seek it. Your children, your spouse, your marriage is worth it. Fight for them.
Malachi 2:16 in the Message says, I hate divorce, says the God of Israel, God of the angel armies. I hate the violent dismembering of the one flesh of marriage. So we just strongly encourage you to stay married, do the hard work. It's absolutely worth it.
Yes, and kudos to you for being here. If that's where you are and you're struggling, you're in the right place. As Matt and Melinda mentioned, this is a safe place. Good job. Stick with it. Lori and I were married in February 18th of 2012. At the time, we each had the two children from our prior marriages. Lori had twins, Sarah and Matthew, who were 12 at the time, and my children, Alex and Abby, were 5 and 4, respectively. As we prepared for our wedding, I remember being excited at the thought of adding 3 members to the family. I was head over heels for Lori, and I still am, and determined to be a positive role model for my stepchildren. I knew this was going to be an important responsibility, however. Proverbs 15:22 states, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So I decided to seek the guidance and pursue godly people by enrolling us in Merge, Watermark's pre-marriage ministry. Though I was optimistic at how well our blending was going, I was not completely naive in thinking we would be without conflict. Therefore, it seemed wise to create a culture of respect and responsibility by implementing rules and assigning chores. Just food for thought, do not do that when you jump into a blended family.
It did not go well.
Yes.
Spoiler. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, that even when they're old, they will not depart from it. As a husband and parent, I felt I was leading the family well. Little did I know that my pride was governing the way I parented.
I remember going into the marriage, being excited to marry Kirk and welcome Alex and Abby into my family. Sarah seemed very happy because she finally had a sister, and also because Alex and Abby idolized her. Even Matthew, who's autistic, was bonding really well with Kirk. As time went by, I struggled some, as did my kids, with the sudden change in rules around the house. And Romans 12:18 states, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So I took that literally. And I found myself doing the kids' chores for them in an effort to keep the peace. But I did it in a way that did not honor and respect my husband and the rules he was trying to make. I undermined his authority by not following through with keeping my kids accountable for doing those chores. And then even more detrimental, by doing the chores for them. I didn't realize it at the time, but effectively I was choosing my children over my husband. And in addition, as the step-parent and bio-parent roles differ with regard to discipline, I left Kirk in the lurch, unable to enforce any rules with my kids because that's my job as bio-parent, not his. And this created a lot of conflict between us.
At this point, I stated something had to change. We talked about attending Re-Engage, but were not able to because of scheduling conflict with my former spouse. However, I knew that my marriage was more important than having a difficult conversation with my ex-spouse about the scheduling conflict. And thanks be to God, when I did have that conversation, she did agree to allow us to come to change the schedule and go to Re-Engage. Going through Re-Engage was extremely beneficial, whether it was forgiving Lori's decision to do chores for Sarah and Matthew, identifying and addressing our communication struggles, I can be an escalator, she tends to withdraw, or simply looking one another in the eye and saying, I love you and I'm for our marriage. The tools we've gained in addressing our marital and blended family conflict have been invaluable. God used the people in our group to provide support and encouragement when we desperately needed it.
Like Kirk, I knew we needed help. Thankfully, we both agreed early on that the D word was not in our vocabulary, even though every little disagreement seemed to turn into just a full-blown argument about the same things over and over and over. Our community group did provide some counsel and suggested that we attend Re-Engage. And so through our Re-Engage leaders and studying God's word with the curriculum, we began to identify our sin patterns, which led us to communicate better and trust each other again. The Holy Spirit convicted us to seek forgiveness from one another. Colossians 3, 12 through 14, this is a verse that we actually read at our wedding, so this was super fitting to apply to the, you know, 5-6 years later as we were going through Re-Engage. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Now when we have conflict, I am able to express myself better and not just withdraw. We also remind each other often that we're on the same team and we're more unified as a result. Kirk and I continue to work on our marriage by studying God's word, attending blended family conferences, leading the blended ministry here at Watermark, and utilizing resources such as the Smart Step Family series by Ron Deal. And this also helps us as we shepherd other blended families locally and nationally.
As you can tell, we are big fans of Re-Engage. And I can't say that enough. This is a wonderful ministry. Again, kudos for being here. Our group leaders, I would like to shout out to both the Turners and the McAllisters, were instrumental in providing a safe place for us to share our challenges. Each week, they sacrificed their time to provide us with biblical wisdom, an encouraging word, and the hope we all have in the gospel. Please do not think that everything is perfect now. We still have lots of challenges and conflict still grows in our relationship. However, due to our blended family dynamic, it can even be more complex than what we even imagined. However, we've learned that through God's love He has no boundaries, and he is for our marriage. If he can send his son to die on a cross for the forgiveness of my sin yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I ought to be able to forgive others of their sins. It is with great joy and confidence that I can state the following. Jesus saved our marriage through the ministry of Reengage.
Since we finished in 2018, Kirk and I have grown the blended ministry here at Watermark. And when I say we, I really give huge credit to this guy. He's done the bulk of the work. We have regular classes on Monday nights in the fall and the spring, and resources on the Watermark Blended webpage. We also, together, joined Family Life Blended, which is a division of Crew, as affiliate staff in 2022 to broaden our reach. We lead an online group on Wednesday nights for blended couples that are launching late teens and young adult kids, and we participate in nationwide ministry conferences for blended couples. We really want to thank Chris Sherrod and Robin Rice for their wonderful support for this ministry, for believing us in us both as leaders and as brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you to Melinda and Matt for inviting us to come share our story and all our resources with you this evening, as well as a big thank you to Lauren Harris for all her technical help in coordinating this event. And now we are going to have a little panel discussion where we hope we can answer some questions and address some common pitfalls for blended families.
Thanks
again.
The way you guys shared your story with honesty and with just transparency is just encouraging. And as always, our hope is that when couples share their testimony, that it provides two things. Number one, just the reminder that you're not alone if you're struggling. And you guys accomplished that tonight. And the second one is just the hope of God's presence, his power, and his love to come into a messy situation. And as you said, Lori, to turn it into a great message. So it's awesome. Hey, I just want to double-click on something that Kirk and Lori mentioned when I talked about the fact that divorce is part of their story, as they shared that divorce is never God's best for us. What is best for us is to pursue unity and to pursue reconciliation. You know, there's the scripture that you shared that I've always just sort of scratched my head about. You know, it's, the scriptures say that God hates divorce, and you think, okay, why does it say that? The answer is God hates divorce because he loves people, including those people who have gone through the heartbreak and the pain of divorce. And if you're here tonight and things are at the point where divorce is, you know, part of the conversation, is part of your thinking right now, I want to encourage you with two things. Number one, you are in a place where you can receive help and healing and real, just the resources to grow and to pursue unity and reconciliation in your marriage. The marriage that you're in now is the marriage that God wants you to have. He wants it to be a marriage that's healthy and thriving and moving forward. And you're in a place where that can happen through here at Reengage. So we're grateful that you're here. The second thing I want you to know, and this is even more important than that, the first one, is that you are loved. You're loved by God, you're loved by the leaders here at Reengage. And again, we are really grateful that you guys are here. So thank you all, Kirk and Lori, for sharing that. Just wanted to say that. As they mentioned, we're going to have a little panel conversation. And so can I invite John and Laura up here to the stage? While they're coming up, we're going to kind of resettle a few things and get a couple of chairs over here. Let me give you this mic. Here, got everybody seated. Let me give y'all, you've already met Kirk and Lori. Let me give John and Laura just a chance to introduce yourselves, and then I've got a couple of questions to ask, and we'll just kind of go from there. Is that all right?
Right, that'd be great. So I'm John, this is Laura, we're the Mitchells. We have both gone through divorces as well. We've been married for 28 years, though, so we're kind of the old folks in the group, and have been around for quite some time. We've been part of the blended family ministry here at Watermark, even back when it was a covert ministry, an underground of sorts. Laura has a daughter from her first marriage. I have a son and twin girls from my first marriage. So when we were married, the kids were, the girls were all 12 years old, and our son was 16 years old. So basically, we had four teenagers. So kind of wrap your head around that a little bit.
Wow.
And that'll tell you kind of where we were when we got married. It's been a rocky road, but it's been an upbeat road as well. And we're just so thankful that we're still married, still in love with the Lord, and still in love with each other.
All right. Welcome. We're grateful that you guys are here. Thank you for joining us. I know there's a lot of couples out here, some of whom are in the blended dynamic, and I'm sure all of us know couples who are blended, so I'm grateful to have the opportunity to ask some of these questions. I'm just going to kind of rapid fire. All right, y'all ready? Okay. On average, how long does it take to blend or to get into a rhythm in a blended family?
I'd say on average, it takes, the studies show 5 to 7 years to really blend a family well. If the kids are younger, you may be able to do that a little more quickly. If the kids are older, it may take longer. It may even take decades. If the kids are already grown and out of the house, a lot of times people don't ever truly feel like their blend comes all the way together. But on average, 5 to 7 years. And of course, Kirk and I were like, oh, we could beat that. We can blend this family and do your, you know. No, it was 5 to 7 still.
Okay, that's good. Did it, y'all experience similar?
Yeah, similar, yep.
We also thought we would do the fast track and didn't.
Okay, that's good. This is a great question. How does a single parent shift his or her primary focus from their child to their new spouse?
So that's really hard to do, and I got to be honest with you, we didn't do it well. When we married, with basically four teenagers who are all extremely active, we chased them all the time and didn't spend much time with one another.
So one of the things we didn't do well, and we would encourage everyone to do well, is to continue with your date nights. You guys might have some comments about that too, but we were so focused on the kids that we didn't even have date nights. And so that was really stressful for our marriage because we never got that kind of courtship going still into the marriage.
That's really good.
But now the kids are all gone and we're doing pretty good jobs.
Okay, that's great. No more excuses, right? That's good. This is a great question, and Kirk, you kind of touched on this in your testimony time, but how do you handle discipline? And is it the same for everybody?
Oh, wow. Well, I can tell you, as John had said, we can tell you discipline the wrong way, if you wanted to know that. But as far as discipline goes, it's bio-parent to bio-child. Step-parent does not handle the discipline as far as raising. It needs to be a communication where the relationship takes place and where it's the strongest and as the biological bond. And the second part to the question is it different? Yes, it is. So please hear me when I say that. We're not saying step versus bio here. We're saying discipline is not necessarily a punishment. Discipline is training. So think of it that way. So when you're training a child, you're not going to train a 3-year-old how to mow the lawn. But if you have a 12 or 13-year-old, that might be one of the chores or one of the tasks you ask them to do. So just be mindful of you will be treating or disciplining them differently, but a lot of times it's the age and stage. But as far as the discipline of correction, bio-parent to bio-child.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would just add to that that over time, after many years, you can transition some of that authority from bioparent to step parent. But there are many years of trust building and relationship building between the step parent and the stepchild in order for that transition of authority from the bioparent to the step parent to occur.
Okay.
For things like disciplining.
That's good. I think this is a great question. John and Laura, this one's for you. For a husband and wife who are in a blended family, who sets the pace?
That's going to have a different answer than you might expect. Because in a blended family, it's really the kids that set the pace in terms of what the relationship's going to be like with the step parent. And I wish I had known that because I kept thinking, with my 16-year-old stepson, I kept thinking, oh, if I just do this, we'll have a relationship, right? Just do this. But now, looking back, I can say, you know, what 16-year-old boy wanted a second mom? And so that was not realistic on my part. So it just takes time, and it really is up to that stepchild to let you, the step-parent, into that relationship. And it took 10 years, and then once my stepson had a child, and then I had a relationship with that child, then he let me in. But it wasn't how I thought it was going to go. So I wish I had just known that it's the stepchild that sets the pace for what that relationship will be like.
So just to add on, every family, as you know, is different. Every step family is very different. So unlike Laura's relationship with my son, Laura's daughter really didn't have a relationship with her dad. So I almost instantly became her surrogate father. And the other thing we did is, even before we were married, we spent a lot of time together as two families, and that really helped us jumpstart our marriage.
Okay. Maybe I should have asked this question earlier. We were talking about the time it takes to blend. But for a husband and wife who are in a blended family situation, is there anything that they can do to speed up the blending of their new family?
The short answer is no, there's not. We say blended family, and that implies like a blender, and where you're going to throw everybody together and turn on the power, and everybody, you know, that just doesn't go well. Everybody kind of gets cut up and chopped up and hurt. And there are other kind of cooking analogies that you can use on how to blend a family. But a microwave, again, not a great pressure cooker, not great. The best analogy we have is the crock pot, and that's from Ron Deal's Smart Step Family series. And so with a crock pot, you have, you know, all these ingredients, they get in, and then you have low heat, and you have a long time, and everybody kind of maintains their individual identities, but you all start to come together. So there's not a lot you can do to speed it up. Throwing everybody together all at once for everything, which we did a lot early on, doesn't help speed it up. Really, you do still need to have like dedicated time between bio parent and bio children without the other step relationship there. And it's okay to have those separate times together. And that actually helps reassure the kids that you're not going anywhere. They haven't lost you to a new spouse. And then they actually, it kind of draws them closer to the step parent because they feel more confident and secure in that bio relationship.
That's great. I love this next question because it is super practical. And John and Laura, this one's for you. As a step-parent, how do I handle holidays or vacations or birthdays with my spouse's children? What does that look like when an ex-spouse is involved with these events?
So we've chosen to make a really big deal out of birthdays and holidays and special events. We go all out, even with our kids grown and married. We do the same thing if they're in town, because a couple of our kids live far away. The other thing I'd want to say is it's important to be flexible. Mm-hmm. When you're in a blended family, it's complicated. And there's a lot of dynamics that impact the kids, and for us, 9 grandkids. So it's not necessarily the rule of thumb that we're going to celebrate a birthday on that person's birthday, or Christmas on Christmas. It's always going to be different. And our flexibility has really helped our kids move down the road and be comfortable with their entire family. I think the other thing I'd add is that when our son was grown and married and had his own kids, it was really helpful that he hosted a lot of these events at his house. And he would invite his mom as well, so my ex. And that made it kind of a neutral ground for everybody. It was very helpful.
That's good. Okay. Hey, last question. Kirk and Lori, this one's for you. What is the best way to model the Christian life for children whose parents are no longer together? And so I want you to think about a couple things: conflict resolution, humility, and just permanence in marriage. How do you model those things?
You have to be authentic. You have to be humble in letting your child know that you're human, that you make mistakes, and you want to model them what you're modeling to your spouse, which is authenticity. You want to model the walk of Christ of just being honest when things don't go your way and you react poorly. Let them know. If you overreact on something, ask for forgiveness. Let them know that you had a moment of weakness or a challenge in your response and it came across negatively. As well as if, and we've had this happen, if you're in conflict with your spouse, chances are that they've seen or heard it from behind closed doors. Let them know that you've resolved it. Let them know that, hey, you know what? I apologize. We were in conflict about X, Y, or Z, and we got a chance to talk it over, and man, I noticed my part of that conflict was I was getting angry. I wasn't listening to Lori or whatever it is. Own your percent of whatever that conflict is and let them know it's important and helpful for them to own their own conflict when they're in it. And then model it in the form of pursuing reconciliation with your spouse and also letting them know that the situation with the spouse is okay. Hey, we might have had conflict, but we're in a good spot now. We learned that, hey, I jumped to conclusions and that's my fault. That's something that I need to work on. And as such, I had to ask Lori's forgiveness for whatever was said. And let them know that it's okay to make mistakes, but it's also important to be accountable for your actions and model it well for others.
If I could just add, I think children of divorce, when their parent or maybe both parents enter into new relationships, into new marriages, they're cautious and they sometimes don't want to get too close with the step-parent of the new spouse because they're not sure of the permanence of this. And so I think telling the children, reminding the children, like, we're not going anywhere. Like, divorce is not an option. We're staying together. We will work it out. Yes, we have conflict. Real people have conflict. And then also sometimes a lot of the conflict in a blended family revolves around the kids and revolves around the other household or custody or finances or any number of things like that. And so if they know, as they get older and they know kind of what the conflict is, it is really helpful to kind of bring them into at least remind them, like, this isn't their fault that you're having conflict, that, you know, again, own your part of it. But I think our daughter had some difficulty sometimes with thinking, she was like, oh my gosh, you're having conflict. You're fighting because of me, because of some situation that she created or did or didn't do or whatever it was. But and just reminding her, like, people fight. You know, that's just, you just have to figure out how to fight well. And then modeling that and especially asking for forgiveness, not just of each other, but also also the kids.
And one thing that we mentioned in the leader session before this is oftentimes, especially in the blended dynamic, the step-parent will bring something to the attention of the bio-parent. And what is said is, hey, I think your child might have missed a chore that I asked them to do. What is heard is, you are a bad parent. You have no idea what you're doing, and you should not be parenting this child. And that is not what's going on. So just be mindful that when you're speaking to your spouse, be honest as best as you can, keep a calm tone, and let them know the situation. And as a bio parent, be very receptive to what the step parent is bringing to your attention, because they are not necessarily calling you out. They're trying to discipline, again, not punishment, but train the situation so you're consistent in the way you communicate to that child or those children.
So good. I think what I just heard is that how important and vital great communication, conflict resolution, and just modeling forgiveness is. And that's not just true for blended families. That's true for every family, every marriage, right? So, guys, it was so good. I have a ton more questions on here I didn't get to. But you heard earlier Kirk and Lori mention that there is a blended family ministry here at Watermark. And so we're going to go ahead and throw up on the screen a little QR code. If you're interested in finding out more about the blended family here, you can scan that and get on their list. They send out a monthly newsletter with a ton of great resources. And so that would be a win if you would take advantage of that resource that's here. And as they mentioned as well, there is a class coming up here on Monday nights starting later in September. So thank you guys so much for being up here with us. It's great.
Thank you for having us.
Great job. So good. Hey, before we transition into our small group time, I have just a really quick announcement. Something fun that we are doing this summer is something we're calling the Creative Date Challenge. And the reason why we're doing this is because even for couples that are kind of in that phase of just seeking healing and growth in their marriage, going on a date, doing something fun, working together, making some memories, that is actually a really helpful step to take in the process of seeking healing and growth in your marriage. And so let me just tell you real quickly how this is going to work. We have a handout in the back as you're leaving the room. If you haven't already gotten the handout, there is a handout with some next steps and some information about the Creative Date Contest. But basically, we're going to give you a couple of different factors for you to begin with and some ways to earn some extra points. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to go on a date with your spouse. We'd love for you to take a quick selfie of you on your date and then send us an email. The email address is on that instruction sheet. And toward the end of the month, we're going to gather all of our leaders. We're going to look at all the submissions. We're going to pick a winner, and the winner's going to receive a $200 gift card to one of the Papa's restaurants here in Dallas. And so even more fun dates. So take advantage of that. So again, that handout will be on the table in the back as you're leaving, all right? I want to say this. If tonight is your very first night here at Reengage, we are so glad that you are here. What we do every week is, like, we have worship. We have a couple share their story of hope and encouragement. We don't always have a panel, but you've already seen a pretty good example of what we do here at Reengage, and now you're going to see the next part, which is our small group time. So if tonight's your very first night, we're so glad that you're here. I want you to stay actually in here in this room as everybody else is getting up here in a moment and leaving. You can stay right here for a newcomer's presentation. Michael and Melinda Parisi are right over here in the front corner. They're going to meet you down here at the front. You can come down here. They're going to share part of their story. They'll show a video that explains what Reengage is and how the process works, and they'll be sure to answer any questions that you guys have about Reengage, okay? That's for those who are brand new. If you've already been to newcomers but you're not yet in a closed group, that means you need to go to open group. And open groups happen over in the West Tower, and so what you'll do is go out these doors, take a right, take another right across the Sky Bridge, and some of our friends will help you find your way into one of the open group rooms where you'll have a conversation with other couples and with one of our leaders about growing in your marriage. If you are in a closed group already, you guys know where to go, except if you are in a group that's starting tonight with Sergio and Sandra Castro and Scott and Brittany Neal. Castro's, where are you? Right over here. And the Neals are there too. Awesome. So that they will meet you right over here, and y'all can walk over together to your room, okay? Guys, thanks so much for being here. I want you to know you are loved, and we hope you have a great night pursuing oneness.